Welcome, welcome all who are here with us. Hey, can we also say hello to our online team as well? Say hello to our online team who is watching with us. We are so glad to have you guys gather on this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful. I'll take the sun, y'all. I'll take the sun over the doom and gloom. You know, I'll just take this all day long, man. God is good. For those who are here, if this is your first time here, my name is Javon. I get to serve as the campus pastor here, and I'm so honored and thrilled to serve you guys. Hey, can we give it up for our wonderful worship team who led us into the presence of Christ? And if this is your first time here, or if you've yet to connect with us, this here is what we call a connection card. If you're sitting down right now and you're sitting right in seat right in front of you, you'll see the connection cards. Go ahead and fill that out. That's the best way for us to connect with you, to get you connected, to get you directed into the place where you feel like God is calling you to be. I also want to talk to you guys about an awesome class that's coming up on May 14th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., and it's called You Said Yes. You know, for a lot of us, we want to understand, how do we follow Jesus a little bit better than what we have been lately, right? A lot of us want to get better at doing that. A lot of us, we don't know where to start. We don't know what disciplines that need to be put in and what that looks like. If that's you, whether you've been a Christian for the last 15 years or maybe you've been a Christian for the last 15 minutes, I don't know. This class is for you. It's to help you to journey on what it looks like and what it means to know Jesus, to follow him, and to grow and deepen your faith. I'm going to be teaching that class. I'm going to be talking through some disciplines, some theology, some church history. I love nerding out over stuff like that. I can't do that up here on the stage all the time. But if you're interested in that, make sure you go ahead and grab yourself a slip. It's got a QR code for you. Make sure you fill out the online QR code online, and then that's the best way to register. That's what I'm looking for, to register for the class. If that's you, that's what you want to do. As you guys can see, we also are celebrating baptisms today, y'all. Man, what day to celebrate new life then with new life. Am I right? Man, that's where the 11 o'clock service. So if you feel up to it and you want to stick around and hang out and put up with my sermon again, stay for the 11 o'clock service. You don't want to miss what God is doing and how he's changing lives today. Let's go ahead and open up to the scripture. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and bring it on out. If you do not, it will be on the screen for you, or you can use your tablet device, whatever you prefer. Hebrews chapter 1 is where we're going to. I'll give you some time to get there. Hebrews chapter 1, go all the way towards Revelation. You get there, you went too far. Peter, you went too far. James, just before James, you get to Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to go ahead and begin at verse 1. It says this: on many past occasions, in many different ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature, upholding all things by his powerful word. Listen to this, friends. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, today, it's not just another Sunday. It's not just a Sunday where we go through the mundane motions like we do regularly. But this is a Sunday where we acknowledge death has been defeated. Sin has been defeated. Separation is gone. And those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, Lord, today we acknowledge the great gift of resurrection. We acknowledge the great gift of resurrection and what that means for us and what that can do for us today. Because resurrection, Lord, you remind us it is not just an event. It is a present reality for us today. It is not just something that happened. It is something that still has impact on souls and hearts today. So, Lord, help us to not just hear the stories, but to be transformed by Christ. Help us to walk out different than how we came in. Help resurrection drive our devotion to you more. Let us not be people who what we were yesterday, but let us be transformed differently, newly, because of the great message of resurrection. Lord, you've given us the message the world needs, and we're here to proclaim it right here, right now. It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, welcome, guys, once again. So excited to jump into this text, jump into Easter, and talk about what it means. As I said in my prayer, resurrection is more than just a moment that happened in history. It is meant to be present in our everyday lives, right? And we want to talk about that and how we can experience that every day. Before we jump into this wonderful, beautiful, amazing theological text, it's interesting. The NBA playoffs are here. I'm a big basketball fan. I love basketball. And our Cavaliers, they're doing their thing this year. Right, yeah, right. Got some Cavs fans in the building, yeah. And it's interesting. We got, I believe our first game is today or tomorrow. I can't remember. Is it today? Yeah, it's today. Yeah, man. Not that big of a fan, but it's interesting. Our first round, the team that we're playing in the first round, we're playing the Miami Heat. Now, when I think about the Miami Heat and the Cavaliers, my mind goes to something that happened about 15, 16 years ago. You know where I'm going with this, right? Yes, I haven't gotten over it. Still a little bitter, okay, all right. This guy by the name of LeBum James, is that how you say it? I guess some LeBron fans in the room did it. LeBron, yeah. He went on national television and shamed Cleveland and had a two-hour interview with The Decision. And, you know, he could have done in 10 minutes. He took 2 hours to say. And he left us for the Miami Heat, right? And I still today, again, I've gotten over it. Whatever, I know he came back 2016, got us a championship. I'm happy for that and whatnot. And, right? And I got to be honest, I can't blame the guy, right? I don't like the move. But I can't blame the guy. I think in that moment in LeBron's career, he had been there in Cleveland for 7 years, and he had yet to get a championship. And what happened was the pressure was on him, the pressure to succeed, right? And he knew that in order for him to be able to stack up against the actual GOAT, who happens to be Michael Jeffrey Jordan himself, number 23, 45, and then back to 23, but let's keep going. In order for him to stack up against the greats, he had to pursue greatness, right? He pursued this championship. There was something in him that knew, if I'm going to be considered among one of the greats, if I'm going to be stacked up against some of these guys, I gotta seek it. I gotta seek this championship elsewhere. It's not happening here. There was a pursuit. There was something going on in his heart because he knew, or something going on in his mind because he knew there was a need. You know, it's interesting. We all are born with the pursuit out of need. We're all born seekers and searchers, right? We're all seeking and searching for something, right? And we're all in pursuit. And that pursuit could be a plethora of things for us. It may not be a ring like LeBron, but our pursuit for happiness, right? Our pursuit for comfort, right? Our pursuit for security, our pursuit for whatever, you name it, you check the box, it's your life, you are in the pursuit. We all are pursuing something, but it's interesting, we seem to be people who are constantly pursuing, but never actually satisfied. We seem to be people who are constantly searching, but actually find ourselves empty, right? But can I talk to you about another pursuer today? Yes, I know I talked about that silly story with LeBron pursuing a ring and how we ourselves pursuing something. But can I tell you what resurrection teaches us? Easter weekend, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, it teaches us, resurrection shows us, God is a relentless pursuer, actively reaching out for humanity with unwavering love. There's another pursuer at hand today, friends. Here's what resurrection means. Resurrection means that God himself had been reaching out to humanity. And we're going to study today in Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to study how God had been seeking and searching humanity for a very, very long time. You know, what's interesting about Christianity, if you don't know this, Christianity is the only religion that talks about how it's not you who go to God, but it's God who comes to you. See, in other religions or in other understandings of talking about religions, it's always what you have to do to get to God. You have to follow a certain kind of code. You have to live a certain type of life. You have to achieve a certain type of moralism. You have to do this or have to do that. All this striving, and then maybe, just maybe, you'll get that God or those gods, whatever it may be. But Christianity says you can't get to God. Therefore, God's coming to you. That's the beautiful truth. That's what resurrection means. That's what the empty tomb means. That's what the cross means. This is what this all means. Resurrection points that to a God who pursues humanity. Now, why does God pursue humanity? Is God needy like us? No, friends. God isn't needy. He is what we call self-sufficient. He doesn't need more truth. He doesn't need more power. He doesn't need more strength. He is who he is. He will always be what he is today and forever. No, God is seeking humanity through his son, Jesus, who we're going to talk about a little bit more in just a second. God seeks you, not because God pursues humanity, not because he needs humanity, but because he knows that humanity needs him. That's why God does this. This is the God that we serve. See, there are so many skeptics out there that would say that because of what they read in like the Old Testament and all the wars and the killings, that God is an unloving God and that God, he seems to be unfair and all of that. And that's for debate one day. We can always talk about that. But what we see throughout the scriptures and what the Hebrew author wants to connect us to when he talks about the God who spoke through the fathers and through the prophets, that God is the God that shows us that he pursues humanity because humanity needs him. And he knows this, right? And he knows, listen, what's amazing about God. I wish I can take credit for this quote, but this was by an old church father by the name of Augustine. God pursues humanity because he knows that humanity will always be restless without him. Humanity, we will always be restless without him. Little do you realize, friends, each and every one of us have what we call a God gap. Meaning this, ever since you and I were born, we have been searching and seeking God. The problem is, we have been searching and seeking God in areas where God is not. Every one of us were born to know God, to walk with God, to connect with God. We were all born with that. But the truth of the reality, we were born in this place of in sin, and because of our sin and our brokenness and our nature, we tend to try to find God in relationships. We tend to try to find God in our finances. We tend to try to find God, and this one's going to sting for some of you parents, in our children. Right? We tend to try to find God in success, right? And that thing that you're longing for, that God gap, that thing you're longing for, it was shaped by God, but guess what? It can only be filled by God. It can only be filled by God. And what we're going to study today, what we're going to realize today, what we're going to see today, that resurrection is God's ultimate answer to our restless hearts. That resurrection, the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, is God's answer to our restless hearts. Let's go ahead and open up to Hebrews one more time. I'm going to read this passage for you guys, break it down a little bit, and then we're going to go to Cracker Barrel. Sounds good? We all can go to Cracker Barrel, get that catfish and biscuits, you know. You know, I love catfish and biscuits and jelly, you know what I'm saying, you know. Here we go. Let's keep going. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 1. Now, Hebrews is a New Testament letter. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some say Paul. Some say maybe one of Paul's, like, you know, this Apostle Paul, he was known as. Some people say that it was one of Paul's people that he had helped grow in the faith, whatever it may be. But this letter has one of the greatest openings in many letters. I would say it competes with, like, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and God. Like, that whole beautiful passage. This one is, like, uber amazing. Like, nerds like me gush over these type of passages. And listen what it says. Look at what the Hebrew author says. In many past occasions and in many different ways, listen to this. What does it say? God spoke to our fathers and through the prophets. Keep that up there for them. Now, in this particular verse, it is, again, as I said earlier, it is trying to connect God of past. God of past, God of the Old Testament, I guess you could say, right? All right. But I love the language that it says, God spoke. You know, God doesn't play hide and seek, right? God is not hiding from his people. And I know often we have this reality where we say to ourselves, because of a lot of the hardships we face in life, we say, well, God is far from me. Right? What we say to ourselves, well, man, you know, this circumstance, this situation, where is God in this moment? But the scriptures speak to this great reality that ever since the beginning of time, God has always wanted his presence to be known, but also experienced, so that you can know he is near. God spoke, friends. Right? God speaks, and he spoke as we said earlier, through the old, and how he presented himself to the great figures we know today, such as Noah and Moses and David and the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, leading all the way to this guy where he says in verse 2, look at verse 2, but in these last days, God has spoken. Now, this particular language, another way you could say is God has revealed himself by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him he has made the universe. Here's the thing, friends. That void and that gap, that need and that pursuit you have in your heart, it has a name, and his name is Jesus. It has a name, and God bridged the gap. God bridged the chasm that was that you were longing for by presenting his son, Christ. And here's the one thing that I notice. Here's the one thing that I want to speak to what this passage means and what resurrection means. God is still speaking today. Listen, don't read this passage just in the past tense. God is presently speaking today. God is present. Now, I've never heard God's audible voice like, Jovan, come forth. I've never heard that. If that's you, God bless you, right? I wish I had your spiritual maturity. But you know the one thing I have heard God speak through? I've heard God speak through my brokenness. I've heard God speak through my failure. I've heard God speak to others' failures towards me. I've heard God speak to the wounds that I've experienced in my life. I've heard God's voice loud and clear through the times I've made unwise choices, when I went a little bit too far with my words, when a little bit too far with my thoughts. I've heard God, and his voice, his language wasn't a language of condemnation. It was a language of nearness and presence and compassion. Here's the truth, friends. Resurrection is, here's the thing. Resurrection tells us God is seeking and wants to speak and call on those who don't know him. Maybe today is a reminder that life is drastically different when you're listening to the voice of your Creator. And maybe for many of us, we need to turn the volume of God up in our lives. We got to turn down the volume of distraction, of defeat, of failure, of divorce, of betrayal, of anger. And let's turn up the voice of God. God is calling and wants to speak to his people still today. It says in many passing occasions, in many different ways, God spoke to our fathers and the prophets, the people of old. But in these last days, he has revealed himself. He has spoken through his son. You know, I want to share a story with you, and it's going to feel a little bit embarrassing, but you know, I'm just that kind of guy, okay? I want to tell you about the moment where I was a teenager, and I struggled with this thing called acne. Anybody remember struggling with acne as a teenager? It was like the worst. Anybody still struggle with acne today? It's like the worst thing ever, right? And you know the worst part to get, where the worst part to get acne is like right on the chin. You know what I'm saying? Right there. Because, you know, everybody looks at your mouth when you talk, so you're sitting there like, yeah, you know, I went to the store the other day. And, you know, so one day when I was in high school, I decided, now, again, I'm going to tell you the story. Do not laugh. If you laugh, ushers will get you out. Keith, he's back there looking at me. He's waiting for the sign. I'll keep moving. Shut up. Okay, anyway. I decided to wear makeup one day. Shut up. Hold on. Wait. Just stop. 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 My mom's makeup, we're about the same complexion. You know, black people, they, you know, the same complexion and everything. So I went up to the drawer and I just put it on. Here's the thing, I don't know how to put on makeup, and I went to school the next day, Strongville High School, and I remember walking in and immediately somebody called it out like, "You got makeup on, bro?" I said, "No, I ain't got no makeup on." I ain't got no makeup on, man. What you talking about? I just had ice cream. Just, you know what I'm saying? You know? And next, you know, one kid told another kid and told another kid, Javon's wearing makeup. And, right? Let's just say that was a defining moment in my, in my life. Never again will I wear makeup, right? Never again, right? I feel a little ashamed that I admitted that to you, right? But it's very interesting. The Hebrew author wants to talk to us about resurrection as a defining moment, not just in history, but that resurrection is meant to be a defining moment in your life. Because here's what a resurrection does, friends. See, the scripture says that Jesus, who is the radiance of God's glory, the exact expression of his nature, and who upholds all things by the power of his word, or by his powerful word. What this is saying is that Jesus was more than just a good teacher. He is God himself, the exact nature, the exact glory, person, God himself, right? And he upholds all things by his power. What does that mean? I believe what resurrection teaches us today is that the resurrection of Christ shows us we need resurrection as well, too. The Christ's resurrection points to our need for resurrection. Christ's resurrection, now his resurrection was for the sake to bridge humanity back to God, to take on the penalty of sin, to take on the things that were separating us between us and God. But this is very interesting. Resurrection shows us we need to be made new. We need to be made new. I said this on a Good Friday, and I just want to repeat it again for those who are here. You know, what I need this Easter is to accept that there are some dead things in me that need to come alive. Right? The other day I was listening to a podcast by this great, awesome guy. Christian dude, his name is Trey Van Camp. Really cool name, Trey Van Camp. And he was talking about how, like, he has a hard time with consistency, right? He makes a lot of plans, and he does them for a week, and then he fails at them after 7 days, right? And he talks about that, and he said something very interesting. He says that the problem is that I have to admit that I'm powerless. And I thought about that idea. I was like, man, that's a pretty interesting way to kind of view life. He says, I have to admit that I'm powerless and that I need to be saved. And today, friends, I think what a resurrection can mean for us is that we need Christ to save some dead things that are going on in our souls. We need him to resurrect the unforgiveness that has been burdening your marriage for a very long time. We need him to resurrect the bitterness you have felt between your family and yourself. We need for him to resurrect. We need for him to make us new. Here's the thing about Christianity, friends. God didn't come to modify your behavior. He came to make you new. And resurrection means God is making all things new and all things that include you. I need a new heart today. I need a new way of thinking today. I need a new way of operating in my life. And here's the thing, friends. On my own, I am powerless. But Christ himself upholds all things by his powerful word. The power is not in me. I can't change myself. I can't give myself a new heart. I can't give myself new discipline. But what I need is that I need to go to the one who upholds all things by the power of his word. The one who can control the seasons. The one who can move the stars. The one who can move all that exists, all that we see and can't see. The one who reigns over all of that has the power to bring change and renewal in my life today. That's what a resurrection points to. And that's what God is calling us forward to. This risen Savior, Jesus Christ. The question is, can we admit we are powerless without him? Can we admit that, man, you and I will never, ever accomplish, see, or experience the very results we know we need without his resurrection power flowing through us? For those who are Christians for a long time, this is a way for us to recenter our focus on Christ. For those who consider themselves Christians, today is a day where you say to yourself, Lord, I love you, but my life sometimes doesn't show that. My life, sometimes it doesn't show that. But I know that you don't meet me with condemnation. You meet with grace so that this grace can move me to a greater pace so I can live for you. Right? For some of us who are skeptics in the room, for some of us who are a little bit uncertain about Christianity, here's the one thing I want you to hear today. Here's what resurrection shows you today. God is speaking and calling you to know him. Because you were created to know him. You were created to follow him. You were created to walk with God, right? You were created for that very thing. And God is speaking to you and I in this very way. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for resurrection. I thank you that resurrection points to our assurance. I thank you that resurrection reminds us that Christ is victorious and will always be victorious. I thank you that I can be reassured no matter how jacked up my life is, no matter how jacked up my thoughts are, you are the one who sustains me and keeps me because you alone have the power to do that. I can be reassured, we can be reassured, because this good news is the news that we need that helps us to adopt and to lead us to renew our thoughts and minds that are greater than what we have been doing lately. Let resurrection purify our thoughts. Let resurrection redirect our desires. Let resurrection not just be something that we just know about, but it's something that we are experiencing every single day, Lord Jesus. I pray that we can have that. And Lord, I come before you as a mess. I'm a man who is a mess. I am a man so broken, but the gospel tells me you are fully restored. And it's the work has been done. Christ has been crucified, but also Christ is risen. But the passage teaches us that Christ is also now seated at the right hand of God. Lord, I love you and I thank you. Let resurrection be real and present in our lives. It's in your Son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.